Well, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Journey. My name is Joel, and today is part two of the four-part series collated around my time in the 2x2 meter square on the ground for 20 hours, or 20 talks, sorry, and our 20 hours of silence challenge. It's wild to think that this time last week, I was waking up and kind of going about my day and speaking to strangers for the first time in 20 hours. It's great to value your voice. It's great to find new purpose in its use, knowing that for that 20 hours, I couldn't use it. So coming out, I made sure that I was careful with my use of words. If I spoke to somebody, it was for a purpose. And if I used a particular word, it too was for a purpose. Every time I took a breath to then vocalize, I made sure that whatever I was doing, it meant something, or it was coming from a true place of connection. And it was interesting because this week I saw the wonderful movie Perfect Days by Wim Wenders. And it's amazing, it follows this wonderful Japanese man who cleans toilets in Tokyo. And Wim Wenders is very famous for having these beautiful stoic silent films with incredible imagery and very repetitive or poetic notions inside of the film. You might remember Paris, Texas, which was written by Sam Shepard. And that too is a personal favourite for those exact reasons. And it was wonderful to be reminded of the power of silence. And then of the power of using your voice. But also being surprised by where the usage of it might take you. Saying something that comes to mind and you blurt it out. Or holding on to something and realising that it's better off said. And that some things, too, are better off not said. So this week marks 1 week of freedom from our 20 hours of silence within the 2x2 meter square. And also this week, the episodes are brought to you by the wonderful writer and creator Meg Shields, whose film Red Rock Run has just been sponsored and supported by Screen Australia, Screen West, and will be shooting in Karratha very soon, I think, in about June. So keep an eye on that in local cinemas in about a year's time. No doubt that will be taking the world by storm. She's an incredible creative and the script is absolutely beautiful. And also my dear friend, Mitch Zier. Mitch Zier started the company Iris Photo. And if you know it, at South Fremantle Markets, you can go in and get a beautiful photo of your iris. Colour, the detail, all the spots, both eyes, and get them printed out into posters or clocks or timepieces, necklaces, calendars, anything and everything. They host these markets also at fairs and Easter markets in Sydney and across the eastern seaboard. Across the eastern states, and are now getting over to America. So check out Iris Photo, and thank you, Mitch. Thank you, Meg, for your wonderful and generous donations towards my fundraising efforts and for your sponsorship of this episode. Now, I'd like to remind ourselves, we had a little riddle last week. What keeps the campers company? Gently passing between the trees. A force untold and yet unseen by daylight or by moonlit gleam. Mothers pray for it. Monks adore it. The extroverts? Well, they abhor it. Where lovers find true harmony and where all children are fast asleep. It surrounds you most when you are bored. You can create it, but it can't be stored. What am I? Now, I apologize because in the writing of this, when I was in the square, I'd had certain lines all written up and then arrows everywhere for the order, and I realize I've misread it, but the information is exactly the same. I misread it this time, but the first time I read it to you in the part one episode was correct. Did you get it? What did you think it was? I'll give you 3 more seconds. 3, 2, 1. The answer is silence. So I hope you'd enjoyed that challenge. We have another challenge of a riddle for this week. And I'm thinking maybe we make that a bit of a thing. It's very good fun creating these things. And the way that I write them is I think of something. So silence, or say, for example, I was going to write one about a pineapple and went, nah, silence is much cooler. So I think of something and then I write to that rather than writing the riddle and then coming up with the thing. It's very helpful because you find a beautiful way to consider something without actually using any words to describe it. And you vaguely refer to it and try to think of ways that other people would see it. It's really good fun. So this episode, part two of the 20 Hours Challenge for 20 Talk, will be starting and will be going from 10 a.m. all the way through to 2 p.m. And then I'll also be including a page a day that I wrote about rich and wealth. So I've been reading a lot about lately of money mindset and trying to make the best of my opportunities financially, being a young man who's wanting to start a family and look at the opportunities that are out there for myself and my partner in this life. And as we all know, the cost of living is crazy right now. But I had a really beautiful reflection while I was in the square. So I'll share that page a day with you. And then the 10 o'clock until 2 p.m. excerpts from the journals will be raw reflections that was written in the spot, stream of conscious, no real kind of thought about how the structural form would go. And I'm so glad you guys are enjoying these episodes. I was nervous about how they would be received, but thank you for engaging with the Q&As that are listed inside of the Spotify episodes. And if you'd like to leave me any feedback, any thoughts, any questions, any ideas about what you enjoy about the podcast, please leave something behind in the Q&As because I do read every single one of them. I do pay attention. I'm trying to find a way where I can respond, but I'm still figuring out the platform. So thank you to everybody who has left a note and left a thought or query. I wholeheartedly appreciate it. As I said, I never created this platform or this podcast to be a vacuum. It's something for all of us to dig our teeth into, to question, to be inspired by, to reflect. This is, I think, our 20th episode. So in that is we've been sharing these episodes to Greece, Italy, Spain, Scotland, Ireland, England, Croatia had a couple of listens, New Zealand's had a bunch, Indonesia, a whole lot of Australia, USA, Canada, even a couple of listens in Russia, and also a bunch in Norway, and a ton in Germany, actually. It goes Australia is number one, US is number two, and Germany is number three. So wherever you're listening, thank you. And if you'd like to, go to the Q&As in Spotify and let me know where you're tuning in from, and let me know so far what has been your favorite episode? Because I'd love to create a bit of a discourse between us all and a community and a connection. I've also been thinking about creating an Instagram page. So if you think that that might be helpful and a resource where I can share daily quotes or little bits and pieces and insight, please do let me know. Because I think that might be a nice way to stay engaged and hopefully share it with more individuals. But for now, let's jump into the meat of part two of our 20 Hours of Silence challenge. 10 a.m. Dinner and a show. I got my body moving early today. The thing that I remember most from my six separate occasions in hotel quarantine or in facilities during the COVID pandemic while I was waiting to be cleared for travel was really simple. And it was this. Move and move early. There is a great saying that I've stolen from Tom Hafey, a Richmond footy great who then went on to become an incredible coach within the AFL and a leader and an inspiration for so many. And he's probably stolen it from somewhere else. But Tom Hafey used to go out to high schools around Victoria and indeed around Australia, and he'd teach about the importance of physical education physically being involved every single day. He talked about it as being a ward from depression, as being a barrier from thoughts and addictions to alcohol, dope, and smoking. If first you turned to your body and appreciated that, gave it time, energy, and care, just like putting it into a tree or sowing a field so that you may one day feed off the fruit and feed off the plants that were grown there, Tom saw that potential in our bodies. You take care of it, it'll take care of you. Tom actually got fired from, I think it was Collingwood, because the players complained about being trained too much. But Tom specified that that was where the work was. The work was in the training, so that in the game you found peace and you found freedom, knowing all the work and all the deposit of energy had been spent at training. And in the game was the chance for you to withdraw that deposit and put it to good use. But Tom would say this: each morning in Africa, a lion wakes up, and knowing it must outrun the slowest gazelle to get food, it gets moving. And each morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up, and knowing it must outrun the slowest lion to stay alive, it too gets moving. And whether you're the lion or the gazelle, you better wake up moving. Moving early always helps me to get so much more out of my day. I feel better. My mood is bright. My breath is settled. My metabolism is higher. And my sense of accomplishment starts to tick over. And the list just really goes on. But today, in my square, at about 10 a.m., I'm really not sure of the time, it felt incredibly special. Because instead of fitting in my movement before coming home to eat or leaving for rehearsal or taking that call, I could actually just really flow through the states, indulging myself in the session, in the gift of my movement and the freedom of waking up slowly alongside the rhythms of my body. It was an actual thrill. Such a wonderful recognition that today, in this square, in this challenge, we have time. And if we can, we should always carve out time to reduce the sensation of do or rush. Because right now, right here, I'm so content in taking it slowly. And I want to capture this feeling to take home with me. My beautiful Romy always has such a good way of keeping me calm amidst my own personal rush. And I don't know if that's because when I'm with her, I sleep longer because she's working nights as a performer. And I don't know if it's just because we take our time with each other and in the world, taking it all in together. But we still get everything done. Because personally, my tendency alone is just the sole want to do. But as I finished my breakfast that I'd made of chia seeds, peanut butter, goji berries, dates and coconut flakes arrived. And that had been brewed overnight. It had taken time to create that meal. Normally, I'd make a quick breakfast of bacon and eggs or some cereal and smash it down as fast as I had made it. But this meal that had slowly been basting away inside of a Tupperware container, growing, fostering life and changing in its essence, was now being served to me to fuel me for the days ahead. And it was gorgeous. It was really tasty. And as I opened the Tupperware container, it was just in time for a performance by a didgeridoo player, whose performance he titled Prosperity. It was beautifully wild. The first note almost brought me to tears, seriously. Hearing that sound that I connect to home so viscerally, way up in the desert, in this place, it shook me. As he played, I shut my eyes, and I chased the clouds across my eyelids, reliving all of the brilliant sunrises and sunsets that I'd seen either through the road or through dusty windshields as the road expanded out in front of me crossing the Nullarbor, or from camp chairs in paddocks that I'd adopted as home base for that night. Some of the images moved in reverse. Some were totally static until they melted into the next. But they were all so beautiful. It made me grateful that I've got such beautiful memories. But I can't wait to step outside these four walls and see real clouds tomorrow morning. Gonna make a point of watching all the sunsets this week, that's for sure. But before he left, the performer said, "Catch yourselves complaining." catch yourselves making excuses today. And that's the one thing I so desperately want to improve upon in my life. Because in asking for help, right this morning at 3:45, either for my forgotten water bottle or for my forgotten journal, I told these beautiful lyrical stories that passed the buck from me to this other version of me. And I didn't need to. I simply had to say what I had needed. No waxing lyrical, no special clauses needed or added. It's the difference between owning a mistake and gilding the lily in denial, in fueling your own vanity. It's vapid. And I don't want that anymore. I want to catch myself. So it's amazing to see, sorry, that's the end of the excerpt. It's incredible to see, if you remember back to our first entry at 4 a.m. and how dark and heavy I was on myself for exactly what I'd done, that with time and space and with allowing your mind to either empty itself of its own accord, not engaging in the thoughts or finding a way to get them out through either journaling or movement or appreciating what you have in front of you, I found myself moving forward with such positivity and energy. It's fascinating, right? I love reflecting on these things, and sometimes it's good if you do write your thoughts down to go back and read them. If you put them in a note on your phone or a voice memo, or you send a text to somebody else, or you've had a phone call on a friend or a loved one or a parent, talk about it a week later. Catch up to yourself and see how you've moved forward. It's a great way to reflect, but also to be aware that you do transform continuously. 2 p.m. This entire period was just one big wild blur for me. As the day went on, I forgot what time it was. I stopped paying attention to the gongs, and I was pretty blissfully happy that I had done so. I was in and out of self-left meditations, where I was breathing through cycles of 4, 8, 7. So I'd breathe in for 4, hold my breath, not too tightly, but enough to compress, create a bit of tension, and then slowly exhale for 7. As I was doing this, I'd move between breathing into my forehead or my third eye, and then breathing out of my crown chakra. Now, I don't know too much about the chakras and these types of things, but I know that what that is doing for me is releasing and connecting to creativity. And if I feel like I'd done that for 15 minutes, I'd move them between breathing in through my crown and out through my forehead. But I had some incredibly wild, deep naps and also crazy fun visual meditations. So much so that I woke up halfway through a group meditation that had been started while I was sleeping and meditating on my own, that was being led by, an actual meditation guru. Now, I don't know what the actual physiological response is from breathing in this way. In for 4, hold for 8, out for 7, nice and slowly. But for me, it was all about tension and release. It was interesting as I breathed in and held that tension, and then let go even longer than what the tension was held for, that I was understanding I had to be letting go of everything outside that I couldn't affect, everything that I can't change, everything I can't participate in from here, in my little square inside this huge warehouse. But also, I was recognizing to release the expectations from myself during this day and every day forward. I had expected to be really quite affected, to go through a lot today, but in earnest, I feel great. I have everything I need. I have a roof over my head, a bed, food, and company, even if it is somewhat removed and silent. But it's a nice gentle reflection in those words, I guess. Personally, I have the tendency to want to know everything well in advance. I want to secure the next 6 months of work for fear of being unemployed, being left behind, or becoming irrelevant. But you can't enjoy life like that. Being with good company, being in my home with a roof over my head, working on a current project, content, grateful, grounded, imperfect but present. That's a great place to be. That's what this square is reminding me of most right now. That with gratitude, optimism is sustainable. And being connected to what you have, where you are now, will sustain you for future success. Don't worry about that. Because success can't be attained if you're not learning the lessons you need to find right now. It's incredible reading back on things like that. How powerful words are. Right? As you write things down in a journal or as you put them in a note in your phone or you send a text to somebody else, it's quite impressive because we don't often read those things out in our head, right? We just write the word down. But when you're reading it and you're affirming it back to yourself or sharing it with somebody else, you put these inflections on it. You afflict the word with emotion. You pass it on from just being on paper, being ink on a page, to then certainly becoming something that has life. And I'd urge you to think about the words that we use, either in emails, text messages, voice memos to friends, anything at all. Think about the words you use. Think about the emotions they stir. Think about the way that it will manifest in you moving forward. How does speaking down to your kid sound? How does speaking poorly to your partner make them feel? How does speaking poorly to yourself make you feel? And on the flip side of that, how does sharing an encouragement or sharing a beautiful affirmation with your partner feel? And how does encouraging yourself and being self-inspired or finding a way to look at the world anew make you feel? And how does lifting up a kid and showing them the view from the shoulders of being an adult make them feel? Pretty special. We have a lot of power up our sleeves. Put it to good use. The last thing I'll share with you before we get onto our little riddle is the spider. Now, to the arachnophobes out there, don't be worried. It's not going to be too intense. But it is a little thought that I'd had of lately while considering wealth generation. Oh, sorry. But having that thought about how to best use what we have at our disposal. And I have been reading and doing a lot of research at the moment. And for the past couple of years, being an actor and being in a creative industry where it's hard to create stability with income because you're going from job to job. And certainly post the COVID pandemic, you know, I worked for 3 months on one of the highest grossing films of that year and I never got paid. So in comes the spider. Here we go. I've been thinking a lot lately about how to best use what income I have for the longevity of my life's financial success. For instance, I really want a family. I really want a house. And I want to be able to provide for all of life's incidentals and any small, happy, sad, devastating, or grandiose accidents. And there is a lot of reading. And even more talk around wealth and wealth mentality. And it all sounds like a lot of a wonderful common sense things, but sometimes it's really hard to decipher or pick apart when you don't have a physical example to go by. People can often be cagey with their financials, and understandably so. In my house, it wasn't something we talked about. You worked hard, you put what you had away for a rainy day, and you provided for those that you loved, and you gave what you could to those who needed it. But today, right now, in my tiny square, right in the corner of the window above me, I can see a spider. Black and bold, beautifully silhouetted against the pristine blue sky behind it. She's beautiful. And I'm going to call her She, after Shelob from Lord of the Rings. But she is making me think about the difference between being wealthy and rich. Because rich always seems like a show, a game of who can outspend who and for how long. Your money, or better off, your debt, is constantly on display. But wealth? Well, wealth is layering your options, putting your cash to work, and making it serve your future meals. Because in comes this beautiful spider, and she layers her web, investing time and effort continuously. And instead of making huge outlandish efforts and pushes of energy in the attempt to catch her meal, she labors in the now to reap benefits of future opportunities. A spider is wealthy, smart too, because she'll always get fed, and not just in the now, but for a very long time to come. Using a collective of miniature threads collated over time to create a thick tapestry of opportunity, tucked away in a corner, unsuspecting, but incredibly patient. That, to me, is wealth. You see, arachnophobes? It was nice. It was a nice story about a spider. But thank you for listening in to this wonderful episode of Journey. As always, I really appreciate you, your time, your energy, and being a part of this community. If you'd like, leave something behind, rate, review, subscribe, like, share with your friends, your family. And again, thank you to Meg Shields and Mitch Zier for supporting this episode through their donations to the 20 Hours of Silence Challenge. We'll be back next week with something called the Eightfold Fence, which I had thought about endlessly while I was in the square. My hope is to make a total episode dedicated to that, and then I'll go into talking about 20 Talk and where all the money is going and what 20 Talk is all about, so that if they do create another challenge, you too can get involved, knowing exactly who you're helping and where the funds and what the charity is going to do with them. So, thank you for tuning in. But before I leave you, I want to share the next riddle. You ready? You can lose me, but I'll cost you a lot. You may replace me, though I'll never be yours. You can share me, though I'm somewhat unique. I cannot be bought at a shop down the street. What am I? There you go. Have a wonderful week. Take care of yourselves. Take care of the wonderful people that surround you and the strangers you come into contact with. Remember how powerful your words can be. I'm glad that was a bit of a focus for today's episode. I have since spent the week in rehearsals for our brand new show, or the reiteration of an older show, sorry. And it's remarkable how powerful it is watching something and using words that aren't your own and thinking about why that person is choosing to say this that way. So, my suggestion to you moving forward this week, use your words wisely. Be incredibly impeccable with the way you use them to yourself and to those that you love and to those that surround you. Take care. We'll be back next Sunday or Monday, whatever your time zone is, with part 3 of the 4-part series of 20 Hours of Silence Challenge for 20 Talk. I'm Joel, this is Journey, and I'll be back very soon.